was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed. Surely not to be disbanded.
We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Odyssey.
And Michelle Christine.
All right, fantastic. So, what is this, the sixth episode now?
Yeah, episode number six.
We're kind of getting to the meaty subjects.
Yeah, well, we're going to hop around a little bit at first and see what sticks. But I'm excited to talk about this because we've talked about it a few times on our own and I thought it was a very interesting subject to discuss.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to the topic today, which is about education. And I think the UK and the US education differs. The US education is one of the worst in the Western world. But I do think they do something really well compared to UK. And maybe they do it too young, but they do show and tell. But they basically encourage people to speak to many people in front of the room. And some kids hate it, you know, especially if you're a nerd or whatever, and people are going to laugh at you or whatever. But I do think that leads to a culture of being outspoken. And that's definitely how Americans are seen around the world. Whereas we don't have any of that. And we're quite repressed as people from the UK.
I don't think we had show and tell in Canada either. I don't recall any show and tell in my life. And I don't know where Canada ranks exactly, but I don't think it's like terrible in response to how things are globally, but I think that there's just so much that you can improve upon with the model that exists right now. Because I fit well into the model that existed, but I mean, I feel like there's just so much more learning that could be done. I think so, we could prepare kids so much more for adulthood than we do.
Yeah, I think we have to look at the education system as it was constructed to create workers when we had things that were looking out for workers after school. And actually, university was for those that wanted to specialise further. So, you know, the whole world was different in terms of having companies that would look after someone after they finished their work. You know, it's a different mentality. Whereas now, it's kind of like, if you get a degree nowadays, if it's not occupational, you need to still hustle at the diner whilst trying to get into your industry of choice.
And even just things like having summers off because kids needed to help their parents with the farms and things like that. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily the best idea to have 2 months in the summer when school isn't even in session.
That is insane. I mean, as a kid, a young kid, you love it. But as I was growing older, I was just like, what am I meant to be doing in the summer? You know, you can hang out with your friends, you can get drunk, you can or play video games, you know, whatever you like to do, which is great. But am I really furthering myself? Am I really, like, growing?
Yeah, I think looking back, I think it would be better to do school or some form of education year-round. I mean, it doesn't really prepare you for work because most people work 9 to 5 all year round. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you're working almost every day. So it's not really, I don't know. I think that people would push back pretty hard now because we're a society of routines. We love routines so much. Changing a well-established routine is incredibly rare.
So I did want to talk about things that aren't taught, which would be improvement to the education system if it was brought in, but also where potential improvements could be had within the current education system.
And I think one of those things, and I think this is a pretty obvious one, but I feel like when I went to school and I went to high school, I was not taught a lot about even just simple things like how to do your taxes. Do you think that'd be something that'd be cool?
Yeah, I think that is part of the win for the people collecting the taxes for the government, is that a lot of people waste a lot of time and then get the forms wrong and then either pay too little tax or forget to claim the tax that they've overspent on. So that's kind of mental. And like, basically learning things at school that might be out of interest or of benefit for you just because you like it, like Latin or certain aspects of history, even though history does teach us a lot about humanity. I think That should be like, you should have that as an option, but not as a necessity. Like, people were telling me to do Latin, so I did it, and that would be useful if I studied law. It was not useful in any way.
That's funny. And I think what I wish, because my parents didn't really notice this too much in my personality when I was growing up, but I definitely had an aptitude towards, like, performing or public speaking or speech writing. And I won, like, a speech contest at my school. And I wish that if those were the things that were happening, that you had either some sort of guidance counselor or someone at the school that can say, hey, you know, you're good at X, Y, Z. These are the types of career paths that you might want to pursue given your strengths. And you're taught such, like, a wide variety of subjects. And that's good maybe in some cases. But once you've kind of figured out things that you're really good at, it would be really interesting if you could specialize a little bit more, I think, in high school to cater to those skills set that you have.
Yeah, I don't feel like school is really preparing you for the life after school anymore. And I think that's what it was designed for initially. And I think, I don't know if you've seen this Key and Peele sketch.
I don't think so. I've seen only a few, so explain it to me.
Well, I'm not talking about the classroom one where he's calling all the names, but I'm talking about when they, as sportscasters, rate teachers coming in. And now, like, as though teachers were the NFL stars. Imagine if we lived in a society where teachers were NFL stars, getting that pay packet, getting that attention, and then they were getting rated on how many A's and how many good students they were getting, how much of a difference that would make to our society and to the education system.
Well, right now, teachers don't really get a lot of respect in a lot of countries. Like, they don't get paid very well, especially in the States. They show these pictures of these teachers, and they're like, I work, you know, this job, and I can barely pay my rent, and I can do this and that, and I can barely, you know, take care of my family. And if you're not paying teachers well enough to have a life, then who's left to become a teacher then? If other people are like, oh, I don't want that job. I'm going to be struggling the rest of my life. Like, I think it's a very critically important job to be raising the next generation, to not even be paying people almost a living wage. I mean, what kind of caliber of teacher are you going to get in that situation?
So what I think over here is they should take 1 month of wages from top professional footballers who are making millions a year, and take that 1 month and give it to a teacher for a year. Now, there should be some sort of initiative where they get applauded for doing something like that. Because in this Key and Peele sketch, they were getting paid more and they were getting applauded. And just because the cameras are on them and they were getting more attention, it just seems so, it's so good if anyone's seen that sketch. It just makes you feel like, wow, why don't we live in that world instead of just, you know, sports has a role, and I get that, but it's basically, the reason why sports stars get paid so much is they're getting so much attention, that's all.
I just think, I don't know, like, would teachers really get a lot of attention if you film them? I don't know, maybe, huh. I mean, there's, it seems to be
some teachers.
There's a reality show about just about anything. Some of them become
comedians.
but I think, I mean, I try to, like, think about if I had kids, like, what kind of school would I want to send them to? And I don't think it was the schools that I attended. I don't like the style. I don't think that the schools were, they thought outside the box enough. It was so like, you have a test and then we're going to pick these answers, and then people, like, cram, and then you do the test and then you forget everything you learned because you just crammed. And I just didn't, like, I felt like I would take a course and high school or university, like, I'd have very little recall about it after, because it was basically just, like, test, cram, study, forget everything, lather, rinse, repeat, whereas I didn't feel like I was, like, learning the processes and theories behind activities, I guess you could say. What about you?
That's good. I think, so one big thing that I would change within school is they kind of chose to shine your shit up instead of going all in on your strengths. So what do I mean by this? I mean, when Johnny comes home with a report card and he's got 3 A's and then he's got B's, C's and a couple of D's, there's this encouragement to raise your D's. instead of saying, hey, Johnny, which one of your A's do you like the most? Do you enjoy the most? Do you think you can not only do the best, but also have the most fun with? That's what you want to do. You don't want to, like, be, you know, LeBron didn't need to know about the number of rings around Saturn, you know? He just needs to keep picking up basketball and going all in on PE and basketball moves, right? So, yeah, I think that's a big shift that needs to occur, but I don't see it happening because every teacher, obviously, they're kind of getting judged by the number of A's in their class or the top grades in their class, and they're not really going, oh, okay, actually, these guys are never going to get that, but what's great is these subjects that they do get. But I don't know, like, there is something to be said about general knowledge, but there's also something to be said about this aspect, which I think is self-awareness isn't taught at school.
Mm.
And knowing what you love and knowing what you're good at, that you could be rewarded for in the world, that's key. And what level you need to produce some level of return. So, you know, LeBron's a bad example away because you need to be so exceptional. I mean, such a gifted athlete, as well as having the right sport. You know, Michael Jordan, he went off after his father died and went back to baseball, where he started as a kid with his dad. And he wasn't great at hitting a ball at speed with a bat.
Mm.
But then he went back to the Bulls and he dominated and crushed and won the championship again with those guys, because putting a big ball in the hoop was the thing that he was good at, right? So really keying in on what you're good at, it's something which really is important. Everyone lacks it because it's never done at school.
And in my school didn't do that, but I remember when I went in to get a part-time job at Future Shop, which was basically like a Best Buy, like an electronics store. And I sat and I had an interview with the store manager, and I had applied to be a cashier. That's what I applied for. And he asked me all these questions. And at the end of it, he's like, okay, I think I'm going to put you in the sales department in the home theater. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, no, I don't think you'd be the best as being a cashier. I think you're very, like, charismatic, and you're easy to talk to, and you're passionate, and I just think that you would do much better being a salesperson in home theater. And I think it was the first time I'd actually, like, discussed something with somebody, and they saw, oh, no, this girl, she's a people person. She needs to be talking to people. That never happened to me in school, but, like, it took, like, the business world, because he thought, oh, she'll make more money for this company in a role that's better suited to her personality, you know?
And I've done some basic math tests with Michelle, and I can agree that he was very right. Because your weaknesses tend to point to your strengths, yeah? And we all have weaknesses because we all have strengths.
Yeah, no, that's true. My math skills aren't great. They used to be better. I was better when I was younger, but I've progressively gotten worse and worse at math as the years have gone on. So here we are. But I've gotten better and better talking to people, so
perfect. That's what you want. Go all in.
Yeah, I went all in. I did. So yeah, that's, I guess, one of the things. But yeah, I never really felt, there was a big pressure in school to, you know, get good grades so that you could apply to university. But no one ever said, you know, like, what, no one sat you down and said, you know, what do you like? What fires you up? What are you passionate about? No, they were just like, okay, well, you know, here's some university books, and, you know, here's some of the courses that you took and what you qualify. Like, no one was like, okay, Michelle, because you're good at, you know, talking to people, public speaking, you know, you're reliable and this and that, like, maybe you should think about journalism, or maybe you should think about this. It was never the case. It was just like, okay, well, here's a book and good luck, and that's it.
Well, didn't you have to go to Google to really find out that you should be a comedian?
Yeah. Definitely. I had these, you know, quasi sales type jobs or business type jobs, and I didn't keep any of them for very long. And I eventually just got so frustrated that I Googled my strengths, which were talking, public speaking, and making people laugh. And literally Google found me comedy classes at Second City in Toronto.
Beautiful. That's how it began. Beautiful. Well, yeah, I think, and this is something, you know, a lot of kids aren't engaged at school, right? They're a bit rebellious. They're a bit, you know, they want some sweeties or whatever, right? Imagine someone comes in, he says, right, who here would love to make some money by show of hands?
I love it already.
How many kids are raising their hand? All of the kids.
Yeah, all of the kids, them. Yes.
Even the sleepy one at the back with his head down, right? And then if someone just went through and showed them basic process of buying something or gaining something or getting something for free, you know, an underpriced asset and then being able to sell it online or anything like that, selling it at a car boot sale or buying it for less at a car boot sale, selling it for more down the road, finding the people who want that and will pay more for that, that's the world of e-commerce or just commerce, you know? And if you got shown that as a kid, like as a kid, I always loved playing video games and I wanted more games. You always want more games as a kid. You want the best games. You want the next console. You want all the consoles. Why not? And if someone said to me, look, you can have one game for your present, you know, for your birthday and your Christmas. If you want more, this is what you could do. I'd be out there. I'd be getting like the monies. I'd be getting some more video games. And what a great thing to teach someone who's so young. Right?
It is. I mean,
resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness is good. I mean, I had a paper route when I was a kid. And it made me a bit of money, but not a crazy, crazy amount of money. But it made me a bit of money. And thankfully, my brother liked video games too. So I was able to pitch to him some ideas.
Lucky.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, David, you know, I have this amount of money.
So I did that with my sister.
Yeah, if you put in this amount of money, we can get this video game console. And I remember the happiest memory when I was a kid was when my brother and I agreed to go 50-50 on an N64. And we literally held hands and jumped up and down on a bed with excitement. And that's, see, because when you're a kid, it's such a magical time, you know, and I think you really will work hard. I think we underestimate kind of what kids can learn and what they can take with them moving forward. And there was, I watched this documentary of this guy and he's like, I even think like babies and like toddlers can really absorb a lot of stuff. So he wanted his son to be a classical musician because he was a classical musician. He would play all the greats, you know.
And Mozart
and Bach.
No, are you talking about Mozart?
No. And then, yeah, one time when his kid was like 3, his dad was like, oh, yeah, I wonder if this is like B flat or something. And then his kid's like, no, it's like a B minor. And this kid was like 3, and he went home and found the book and saw that it was B minor and was like, oh, my God, my kid's a prodigy, because he had just basically been, you know, teaching him subliminally or whatever, subconsciously, I don't know, maybe consciously, all this kind of music and immersing him in this stuff. And then, bam, this guy's a savant. This kid is 10. It was incredible what he can play and how passionate he is. So I think it's incredibly important when kids are a young age, especially they're sponges, is to encourage them to pursue things that are really going to be viable for their life outside of school.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that this isn't done is something that should be taught again is emotional intelligence, because the parents themselves were never taught this, so why would they then teach the kids? And also, it takes humility to be able to be like, you know what, I'm an adult, da da da, I pay the bills, I do this, I have all this responsibility, but this kid that's, you know, 10 or younger, he can learn stuff. She can learn stuff. She can learn things to a higher degree. And that is true in any technology. Every decade or so, we have a technological wave. And at a certain point, you kind of slow down your uptake of technological understanding.
Yeah.
And kids, you know, kids are like 3 years old are going up to TVs and trying to press the TV screen and control it. Because they're used to doing that on a computer. And it's like, why not? Why not? We do it on the phone. We do it on my laptop.
Mm.
Why not?
And some kids are lucky. I mean, they have parents that do notice these things. Like Richard Branson always had, you know, parents that were very aware of his entrepreneurial skills. I think they even let him buy like a bunch of like budgies. He tried to have some like outdoor aviary to then sell the birds, and it didn't work out. But he talked in his book a lot about having parents like that. And I think that if we do have schools and because parents are busy and they're working and they're not able to be as hands-on, then it would be great if teachers were, you know, given that freedom and that power to encourage kids to go into these kind of side fields that aren't so broad and that are a little bit more narrow.
Yeah, I think in terms of under this heading of emotional intelligence that could be taught, the importance of relationships, needs to be taught and understanding, and even like, I guess, again, at the level of teachers, to be able to then teach this, that we don't, not all wired the same. We're not all going to take the information the same. We're not all going to be thriving at the same thing. And there's that depiction that you were saying, and I've seen, that was on social media, of a picture of a monkey and a fish and a giraffe and an elephant and a fish. And then they're asked to climb a tree, and that's the education system.
Yeah.
And it's like the monkey's already half up the tree, but guess what? Go ask them to swim the ocean. Fish is away.
And one of the things that they have in the blurb is they say, for a fair selection, everybody has to take the same exam. Please climb the tree. And I think in that particular case, like, they do want fairness in a way. I don't think this came about to try to, you know, have a certain type of person succeed over the other types of people. They're like, oh yeah, a fair test. But the problem is, one fair test is going to appeal to some people better than other people. And that's the tough thing.
Yeah, it's not fair. Like, and also, in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of networking, it's about collaborating. But you get taught at school, don't copy. And it's like, okay, because I'm meant to learn it, I get that, I understand that. But when we're actually going and operating in the real world, we want to find the best people for the best, you know, roles in what we're doing, right? And so, I remember a story about when Bill Gates was at uni before he left to set up Microsoft, and one of his friends was come up to him and say, oh, what did you get on the test? And he beat him on the test. He beat Bill. And so Bill turned to him and said, oh, that's fantastic, mate. You can come work for me. Right? That's the stuff that we want to teach, because we just want to make society better and stuff we live in. And it's like, some people are going to be more science minded, some are going to be more arts minded, some are going to be more entrepreneurially minded. Like the fish, you know, the fish ain't going to get anywhere near the tree.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it's funny because the cat, so I've bonded a little bit with the cat here, which is really exciting. But then the cat really likes to try to come inside and see us, which makes me happy because I really like to pet the cat. Oh my God, it burst into the scene. But yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think I'm a little bit more entrepreneurial minded. And the problem for me was that because I did well at school, I thought, well, you know, the next logical step for me is to go to university. That's what smart people do. They go to university and they get a degree and they get a job. And then I went to university for something I wasn't passionate enough about, and I still graduated. And then it didn't take me long, maybe about a year, before I realized, okay, this is not for me. I don't want to keep going with this career. And I decided to take a complete 180 and started doing stand-up comedy. And I feel like you were kind of similar in that sense. You went to university, you got a degree, and then you've never really worked a stereotypical 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, that's right. And I didn't know, like, when I was at school and a rebellious 15-year-old, I would say, you know, I'd rebel against the system if I didn't operate so well within it. And then when I went to uni, and it wasn't gelling for me, and this whole sacrifice of just being sat in front of books, which I found horrendously boring, and I wasn't using what was more innate with me to connect with people and to share things and to go on a journey. You know, that's really what I'm about. Not necessarily a lot of traveling, but you know, it's a metaphor. I travel a bit, whatever. Anyway, so knowing yourself is something, and I think there's no kind of emphasis or focus or kind of visualization. They don't care. You don't care if you finish your degree. It's like, okay, you wanna pay for it? Okay, we'll take your money. Don't care if you do anything with your degree. Oh, you got a degree now. Are you gonna do anything with it? No, it's all right. Like, I was at uni and they didn't even help me, and thankfully they didn't actually. Maybe they saw that rebellion burning so brightly that I was gonna just sit in some firm and just be like another cog in that machine. And fair enough, if I wanted it, it was there and I could have gone for it. And if you do that, that's fine. I'm not judging what people want to do. I'm judging the system, which isn't really supporting whether to determine whether you really want to do that. That's the key.
And they're very happy to take your money. I mean, university and college is a huge business, absolutely.
It's a racket.
Especially in the United States. And I think it's, you know, I think morally it's absolutely terrible that they're graduating these people $100,000 debt, $100,000 debt, $100,000 debt. Oh, I have a degree in history. I have a degree in sociology. And like, it's great if you're interested in that. That's fantastic. But you're going to be in almost a lifetime of debt because a lot of those career paths don't make a lot of money, and they're just pumping these people through these programs, and there's just there's no path to a job. Not at all. They're at Starbucks.
Well, this is the thing, and you kind of touched on it with the tax reference that you said should be taught at school. Financial education should be taught at school, both for like your own personal finances, and then also within that asset allocation, and then financial education for if you want to set up a business or something like that. But if people were taught personal finances, then they might rethink getting a degree and then getting a mortgage. Because the real problem, and it's causing a bubble right now in the financial world, is the fact that these kids with a $250,000 debt or $100,000 or whatever the number is, they're coming out and then they're getting a loan for $500,000 on a house. And that's a problem. That is the problem.
Yeah, no, that's a recipe for disaster. And I think there's some countries that are doing it better. I think that there's a lot of countries in like northern kind of like Denmark, Sweden, Norway, where school's not very expensive. A lot of times it's either paid for or you can get like a small stipend to go to school.
And which means they pay you to go to school. When I heard this, I was, whoo.
That's great. And so I think those countries, though their economies are still quite strong, they have a very healthier, like a healthier middle class. But I think that there's just a lot of greed out there. And there's just certain countries that are, I think they're not trying to change and update their education system because there's a lot of people that make money off of it working the way that it does.
Yes. Sometimes, there's too much of incentive for the people who already made it through the game, through the gauntlet. And for some bizarre reason, they don't want other people to have the same benefit. And I don't think that the people, you know, founding fathers, the people that seem to have written about rights throughout the age of man, I don't think that they had the same approach to what's currently happening. And
it's funny, I can hear the cat. The cat is going absolutely berserk. It's actually making me laugh so much. I know. Well, it's, you know, pets, people, pets. Am I right? Maybe one day we can have a really successful podcast and then we can have a studio, which would be kind of cool. But yay, you got to keep producing the content and working through it. But yeah, no, I think that I was quite lucky when I was going to university because I had a co-op job. So my co-op job, so every 4 months I would go into an office and I would work and then I was able to pay for school. But even in going to those office jobs, I definitely realized I was not really happy doing office jobs. And I think that those were the seeds and the buds, is getting into the workforce early and experiencing how kind of boring it was to me to have these type of office jobs. And that made me think, oh, you know what? I'm starting to feel a little bit of doubt. And then my classes weren't really doing it for me. I thought a few times, oh, maybe I should drop out and take something different, or I should drop out and refocus. But I was so close to finishing, I kind of convinced myself to keep going. And yeah, when I graduated, it did not take long for me to be at that office job again, because I'd always had about a year or so experience working at one, to think, you know what, this is not right for me, and to make a change. And, you know, I wish sometimes I could go back in time to when I was in high school and change some of the electives that I took, or in university, maybe dropping out and taking something I would have been a bit more interested in. But you can't go back in time. But I do feel like there are some types of schools and education systems that are a little bit more inventive or outside the box. Like, I don't know if you know, but Elon Musk puts his kids in a school that's totally different than a normal school. It's a very small thing. And I think it's like super free, and they kind of let the kids figure out what they would like to do and then kind of build a curriculum around what the kids' natural abilities and intuition is, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, I've talked to some people about this sort of thing. I think it's known as unschooling in certain countries. And what they really do, like you said, is they get to know the individual and then build up from there and build upon their strengths. So it sounds fantastic. And I know also that they have an alternative school. I think it's called Anastasia School. And what they do there, which is of note that stood out to me, is they have different years hanging out with each other. And it's just whoever knows the most or whoever's got this down can go up to the front and teach the rest of the group.
Hmm.
So you have these like teenagers and these youngsters. And if the 10-year-old knows how to do the formula, they'll get up to the board and they'll teach the rest of the group. And it's really amazing. And it's and that's the real world, isn't it? It doesn't matter how old you are. It matters, can you deliver on this result? Do you have that skill? Are you right for the role? And I think we're so... So fixated around boxes that and what your ability should be, and if you're this age, you start at this rung, and it's not the case. Some people have amazing ability when they're younger. Deal with it. I'm sorry if you get like upset about that, but you know that's why people get moved up a year, even in the current school system.
Yeah, and I think it'd be cool to have it be a little bit more free, because I find when you find somebody that you like to work with, regardless of how old you are or whatever, what class of, you know, wealth you came from, there'd be such healthy collaboration between those individuals. And maybe you have some work projects and group projects that you want to do. And yeah, maybe there is a kid that's a little bit more mature for their age, and they do like to talk to some students that are a couple years above. And then that way they can learn and share and expand each other's minds. And it's like I felt a little bit isolated sometimes in school, because I did quite well. And I did this thing called enrichment, where they would take a couple students out from each class and then you'd go together and you would kind of discuss things that were a little bit more philosophical. And like that was actually like the one highlight for me, is like that small little taste I had of that, where you were surrounded with people that were a little bit more like-minded. And you know, I think that there's very few hours of the day I was exposed to that sort of thing. But it was like a little taster, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know, talking a little bit more about, like, is there life, you know, outside of, you know, this planet and stuff. And because I went to a Catholic school, I feel like the person actually that was the teacher probably taught a few things he wasn't supposed to. But it really expanded my mind on that sort of thing from a young age.
Really?
And I would have probably loved to have gone deeper.
Wow, that sounds really insightful. I don't know what things...
Did they have that in your school, like in Richmond?
No, I went to Epsom, not Richmond. No, sorry.
I don't know what that means, but I guess it's like a local joke if you're English. Oh my God, Epsom versus Richmond, which one's better?
No, we didn't have enrichment. That sounds very woo-woo, which is unusual.
No, it does not sound woo-woo.
Yeah, Michelle's against, I think, too woo-woo.
Oh, well, I'm not against, but I feel like I'm really into, like, facts and things, and I really, like, it's hard for me to let go a little bit. And we did today do something.
A hypnotic process based around NLP and unlocking the unconscious.
Yeah, so even... So, I mean, against is a strong word, but I just always like to question things.
Good.
And I want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to open up your mind, that you're doing it in a safe way, in a healthy way.
Excellent. And I think, you know, I've done a little bit of teaching just in around poker. And I think one thing that's really important, and it's something else that needs to be taught, and it's never said throughout school, very frustrating this. They try to encourage you to become memory robots, which has become ridiculous and redundant given that we've got all the answers on our phone, right? So people get used to memorizing the answers to things, but you've got to engage your brain. And I like to cultivate a good poker brain for someone that I get to teach, not a poker memory. A poker memory is dangerous because there's too many flops and not enough time to get through all the flops for you to remember all the hands, all the positions, all of the different circumstances that might be occurring. You need to be able to assess your opponents, what hands they play, what the board is like, how that affects things. You know, I don't want to go too deep, but the essence is true for all things. You want the brain in the subject, not the memory.
And I could not agree more, because I am, as a default, a person that was. Like, every single test that we took was always just memory based, and I had a pretty decent memory, like a pretty good read to like recall memory, so I would do quite well in tests and exams. And it did teach me that kind of more like a default memory brain as opposed to a theory brain. And I'm trying to change it. I'm trying to get better at it. But it's just hard when that's just how you were rewarded, was that style of learning. And it becomes, it really does become the default way that you learn. And I do like reiterating that fact of like, no. Because if you learn the reason why something happens instead of just why it happens, then you can take it to different elements and then you'll be able to reason it out. Like, memory can only take you so far. So yeah. I am trying to cultivate my poker brain.
Fantastic. yes, and you're coming along. And at the end of the day, I'd say critical thinking is critical.
I would agree with that completely too.
Thank you.
So I guess if what would you say though were some of the things that you thought were positive in how your education system worked, and what like how that could be kind of expanded or?
It's night and day. Look, I got to taste a year of private school education. It was just something that fortunately happened because an unfortunate thing happened to me, and it was night and day there. Like, I loved English literature. I didn't get to do it there, but I talked to the English literature students and they were doing 5 books a week. Now, we analysed 5 books for the entire 2 years of studying at A-level. These are the books. They were doing 5 a week. A week! And like, they were doing a horror genre, and then they were doing adventure genre, and then they were doing this genre and that genre. What's going on? Like, their level of knowledge and understanding and diversity. And like, when I got to see that, I got to see that if you are a monkey that climbs a tree well, then it is worth, and that's something you want to pursue, it is worth, I think, pursuing higher education or better education. I think the problem is, like, when you're young, you don't really know the world. And if you get to taste and test things, then that's going to be better for you. But what was good? What was good was the teachers that were great in their subjects inspired you. They made you feel warm and happy. And they were good people. I think the best thing about education system right now is the people that are doing it want to do it. Because like you say, they ain't getting paid for it, really.
Yeah.
They have to love it. And so one thing that's coming out of it is the people that we got to be around were really great teachers and they loved it. And there's something special about that.
Yeah, and I think for me, I couldn't agree more with that. And I had a class in university called Writer's Craft. And I actually always thought I was a terrible writer. I really did. Because did you ever have to like write essays on, you know,
on like Shakespeare? Come on.
So I wrote Shakespeare. And I just wasn't passionate about that, writing an essay on Shakespeare. So I didn't get as high of grades in English as I did in other subjects. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to take Writer's Craft, which was a bit of an unusual choice for me. But we had this project where we had to do an interview with somebody and then write about that interview. And I did that and I submitted it and I got a great mark in it. And the teacher said, hey, can I use yours as an example for how to do these projects for the future? And it wasn't, so I'm good at writing nonfiction.
Like a journalist.
Yeah, I'm good at writing nonfiction. And
don't you do something like that now? And you're a motorcycle journalist.
Yeah, so now that I've been able to publish some articles in the motorcycle journalism world, and all of the feedback is, you took me into the journey, or it felt like we were there, or thank you so much for sharing this, you know, on a foggy day. And it's because that was my strength, and it was so good having a teacher, because until that point, I never felt like I was a good writer, ever.
Well, I was going into new schools a lot because we moved houses, but like in and around the same area. So then I ended up coming back to the same school. And then I wrote a fantasy story called The Purple Planet.
Mm.
And then the next day, like, the teacher said it was great, amazing, we loved it. And then she said, oh, something special is going to happen. Next day, we have an entire assembly, and they were like, okay, if you can go up and read your story to the rest of the assembly, please. And then for a week or 2 weeks, I can't remember now because it's been a while, I had to be the person reading my story to the rest of the assembly. which is great. But I had no idea how good it was or how, but obviously, and that continued. That was that middle school, and then in high school, similar stuff happened again. And so when there are good teachers around, they do bring out the best in you. And I think if we can get more of this information, I think this is why you really want to share it on the podcast today, because the more people that get an understanding of what's important, going in all in your strengths, being self-aware, going towards being more connected with individuals, and then maybe we'll get some of these teachers that come out and really kind of inspire people. Because I was really touched by that when I look back on it. Like, at the time it was really scary, because some of the years were older than my year that I was reading to. But looking back at it now, I'm just like, yeah, why don't I do that again? Because obviously I'm good at it.
Yeah, encouragement is huge. It's absolutely huge, because they've done studies where they would have people...
I'm writing a children's novel, by the way, just to let you guys know.
And it's really fabulous. I can already see it now. I'm already can see it, like, it being animated, or like the person...
I don't know any of this. I may never finish it.
Well, no, not if you stick around with me, because
I need the encouragement.
Yeah, I will make you finish it, I promise. But anyway, so we'll update you in a few years when he releases it, and it'll be great. You heard it here first. Yeah, encouragement goes such a long way. So they did a study, and people were, you know, writing maybe a little short story and then submitting it. And then one person would put it on a table, and then different room, somebody would put it in the recycling bin. And then in another room, a person would read it and give feedback on it. And everybody that, like, you, and you could stop whenever you wanted. Whenever you wanted, you could stop doing it. It was just, and everybody who, you know, had the person throw it in the recycling bin stopped the soonest. The people that it was on the table stopped medium. And then the people that got some feedback and encouragement, like, kept going the longest. And, you know, I don't know, you know, studies are always a bit biased in certain ways, but it basically means, like, when you are encouraged to do something, or you get feedback, or you get interaction, you are much, much more likely to stick with something. And yeah, hopefully, you know, having, you know, in the hiring process, in the watching process, like, we have more teachers that are kind of recognizing those things in their students.
But I have to be mindful of the feedback needs to be given to you, but then also there should be greater feedback of, like, oh, where your level of work is really, like, relative to everybody else in and around your age, your peer group, because that's important. Because if you know that you're never going to be, say, a top gamer, you know, you don't have the reaction speeds to be a Call of Duty player, maybe you can go into video game journalism or another aspect of it, you know, as Twitch streamer or something else, right? I think it's important that, you know, someone that I follow talks about not giving eighth place trophies to kids. Like, giving them all the encouragement and then giving the true result of where they're at. So, give them all the encouragement to go out on the pitch and perform, but then if they lose, not going to, like, cheer and shout and be like, oh, you're amazing. Just be like, no, okay, look, you need to improve here. It was a good showing. Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Do you want to do it? Probably not going to make a pro, but, you know, let's keep searching for the thing that you're great at. I think what's important is, whilst we're kind of getting opportunity to explore all the kind of textures and wonderful things in life, and school does offer that, as well as forcing you to run around a field sometimes when you can't do physical education in terms of playing the games. But what people really want to know is, and I think this really changes people when they find it, is they want to find what they're great at, what their greatest thing is at. Now, maybe they're not the greatest in the world, but at least they have a shot to make an income from it. If you know that, you know, if you carry on this path and this thing is that you enjoy, and you can make a living from it, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, and I think also teaching kids a little bit about... life is a long game. It's not a short game. Life is definitely not a short game. And I know when I was in school, sometimes, like, you get caught up in all this crap about friends and popularity and this and that. And I think that if there was, like, a little bit, like, one class about a little bit more of, like, the world at large, like, you know, you're going to have your career for you know, 30 to 40 years in a lot of time. So, you know, picking something that you like and something that you enjoy, if you can make money at it, is really important. And because a lot of people will go to school and they'll get a job and then they'll be in a career that they don't enjoy and they don't really understand the scale of how long like 40 years is, because everything up until that point's been very short. Like elementary school's only, you know, a few years, then high school's even shorter, only 4 years, then you go to university for 4 years. You don't really get the scale if you don't like being an accountant but you can get the grades, that it's like 40 years. That's so much of your life. So a lot of people go to school and they have the accountancy job for 5 years. They have midlife crisis. And then they end up doing something completely different, where it's if they, it was a be reiterated a little bit more on the scale of things and how much enjoyment is a factor, I think people would pick more wisely.
Yeah, they say after a certain level of income, extra pay does minimal to actually raise your level of happiness, but you have to get to a certain level of earning before that tails off. And so, you know, someone could be far happier making $60,000 a year, dollars, $30,000 a year, doing something they love as a journalist for a niche subject or niche video game, say. This is something that I was interested in when at school and I couldn't get to do it. Anyway, you can make that money. You can make that money every year and actually be happier than earning twice as much a year trying to be like a corporate lawyer or something, you know, where you have fewer hours doing the stuff that you love and fewer hours being around the people that you love, being around other people who like the same stuff as you. And so, yeah, I just think it's a bit muddled, the education system. It's not really well thought out for where we, especially for where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
We all have these wonderful phones in our pockets. We're all connected by technology. More of like basic technological understanding. I don't know if they teach this now, but like just knowing which apps can connect us and what we can do on them is just phenomenal. And I think a lot of education is still behind what top marketers are doing or influencers are doing or thought leaders are doing now. I mean, it's tricky because even some businesses are struggling, and you know, Toys R Us just went out of business because they didn't get this understanding. So it's not necessarily widespread knowledge, but the people that are succeeding need to come in and really share with youngsters what the world's about and be sharing about that, because I think when you're getting encouragement from a guy you look up to, that's much more powerful than someone else telling you how it's going to be, you know. And when they say, yeah, be patient, or just, you know, your early 20s are there for experimentation. You know, we do it in other aspects in terms of socializing, going out and seeing what kind of music we would like and all these kind of things, what we like to do in our lives, whether we like to travel or not, how far we like to travel, if we do like to travel. Some of us don't like to travel as much. But yeah, you know, I think why don't we do that in terms of our pursuits and not putting so much pressure on youngsters to have the answer. I think as a youngster, you think, oh, 40 years old or 50, you know, maybe that is, I'm not sure. But like, actually, you don't have to attain everything and have everything done by 25. You don't.
No.
You're still young.
Yeah.
We was watching a Survivor, and this girl was like, was it Australian Survivor?
It was Australian Survivor.
And she was like 19.
No, it was the American one. It was American. David. She's on the David tribe.
David Glenn.
Yeah, the first episode
okay.
of David.
So she's a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I've already told a little fib. I've already told a lie. I've told them, guess what? How old I've told them? I've told them I'm 22.
Oh, it was so funny.
Because. You know, whilst at, you know, if we look at it, being a teenager and not and being beyond a teenager, there's a lot of privileges. Like we kind of mentioned, the alcohol in America, being above 21, being seen more as an adult, being having completed university. Usually, there's a lot of mentalities to say yes, being 22 is significant, but in the long scheme of things, it's very close in other ways.
Yeah, and I think in school, we're often taught kind of you have to like finish things, right? Like if you have a project, you have to finish it. If you have a book report, you have to finish it. If you have an exam, you have to finish it. But in the real world, I find that if you're doing something that you don't enjoy and you do want to stop it and do something else that you're more interested in, like, we're kind of taught that completing things means you're not failing. Like, you have to finish your degree even if you're not enjoying it, or you have to finish that. But honestly, I feel like when you decide, oh no, I don't like this, I'm going to stop investing my time in it and switching gears, that can actually be a beautiful thing. But we're often taught that, like, you have to complete something for it to be deemed a success, whereas I don't think that's always the case.
Oh my words. Yeah, I have to agree with this massively. What you want to do is, when you find that thing, you've got to keep exploring, tasting, and then be like, okay, this one. And then once you start getting some rhythm with it and giving it some time and, like, and it is right, yes, you're good. Remember, the quote that Darwin says, it's not the strongest that will survive, but the one most adaptable to change.
Mm.
Yeah? And so for us to switch off some of our natural tendencies to be able to adapt, I think that's the wrong way. We got, like, part of the exploration process is part of the process of finding those opportunities in life which we have the best skill sets for. And I don't know, it's got to be like a jungle gym of exploration in a lesson in school or something. I don't know, like, there has to be something out there. It has to be there.
And I see that even just with watching my sister and her two kids, right? So my sister has two daughters, and one of them is so flexible and loves dancing, and she always does amazing things. And the other one just isn't very...
She tries, though. You know, younger sister, she wants to replicate the younger sister. So the older sister's doing a full split that goes into a headstand, and the younger sister just rolls on her head.
You know, that's one way of putting it. And then, but what the...
She is a lot younger, I would say.
But she's just, she isn't as flexible. It's and her body shape isn't, you know, perfect for that sort of thing. But what she's really, really good at is she's incredibly, like, focused, and she loves to, like, stack things. And I feel like she's going to be really, like, analytical and really good at maybe, like, the more computer-y science type of stuff. And, like, it's great to have an older sister to look up to, but, you know, the people are so different and we're good at so many different things. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to see what people are gifted at. It really doesn't. So I just, there's just got to be more time, I think, and opportunity for kids to have a bit more free rein to explore and see what they're good at, and then and give them a bit of choice. Like, is it so bad to have a bit of choice built into the curriculum of even people in primary school? You know, having a few different things, like, okay, do you want to do more of the sports here, or do you want to do more of the design, or do you want to do more of the programming, or do you want to do more of the public speaking and perform? Like, I really think that there could be, you know, a 5 or 6 different areas, maybe more, that, you know, you kind of test kids a little bit, you observe them, you see what they like, ask what they enjoy, and then they can kind of pick a little bit of a stream for themselves amongst some of their other classes.
Yeah, I think all this is pointing to more resources and more allocation of time and people, because I think the process itself currently with the education system is everybody has to be at the same level, and people straggle behind, and then the other people pushing up ahead, and they're feeling like, oh, you know, and then the people in the middle are fine. And then it's like, oh, what's going on? And then they're pushing through the next day. So now the people who are straggling behind are further behind. The people who want to go ahead are like, well, I've already done this because I've already gone ahead. Or they do it very quickly. And the people in the middle are fine. And it's like, it's just a constant thing. Like, and so no wonder you get people at the end who are hating certain subjects, who never get it. And then people who are like, who are loving it. And then... I don't know, it's just a mess, isn't it? Well, we need more resources there. And if we had something which was like that kind of Key and Peele sketch, just in some way, some sort of recognition. I think we need more recognition in society how important this is.
But maybe with the internet,
there'll be like online schools or something like that. I feel like if the education system is slow to move forward, I think that maybe the young generation will adapt and are adapting, because you can teach yourself how to do just about anything from the internet. And I had people that were my friends of mine, they were learning how to like mod, this is maybe not technically legal, but like modding Xboxes so that you can play any game that you want on them. And then that all their friends would come and then they would mod them, and they started this like mini business of modding Xboxes. And like, it's just because, you know, with the internet now, you can be pretty freaking crafty.
That, you mean I didn't even have to go out and make the money to buy the games? I can do this mod thing?
I'm not endorsing it. I'm just recalling a story.
Don't do that, guys.
Don't do that. It's illegal for sure. But yeah, I just think that if you do feel like you're being left behind and you do feel like you have abilities, I think you have to go onto the internet, find those abilities, and then do it in your spare time.
The internet is the superpower of a modern day world. And it has a lot of solutions. And yeah, you can learn pretty much anything if you apply yourself to it. So it might not be in the best way for you, but like if you read, there's blogs. If you watch, if you learn by watching, there's vlogs or there's videos. There's a lot on there, you know. And I think a lot of people still aren't in the habit of saying, hey, look, I mean, this would be something that no school would say, but for schools to admit that they don't teach everything.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have to teach yourself. And you know what? There are people that, like monkeys that like to climb the tree, they get used to loving to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's people that struggled. And so as a result, they don't like to learn outside of school. And they think they've learned everything they need to learn at school or college or uni. And when they leave, they stop learning. And it's like, no, I think we need to embrace the culture that to always be learning is a great thing, always be improving, because then we're going to be great examples for our loved ones and other people around the world. We're going to be more empathetic, and we're going to be able to connect more, we're going to be able to distribute resources better, we're going to be able to do things that have better renewable aspects in terms of energy. We're going to be able to make this world a better place if we all just kind of realize that school isn't going to offer every solution. It doesn't offer every solution, even for top students. You're going to have to do it. And like everyone can.
And I think if people are happier, if they're able to find what fuels their fire and careers that they enjoy, I think that'll improve so much. Because I think a lot of people are bitter, or they get frustrated, or they get stuck in this routine, and then they really start to like become less productive because they're in jobs that they don't enjoy, which leads to lives that they don't enjoy. So if you're able to, find things that lead to a passionate career through education or in your spare time, I think that that's going to lead to a much better world. Because I really do think don't you see that in people that hate their job? Like, it affects everything. It affects their home life. It affects, like, what do you try to do when you've worked 9 to 5 and you hated your job on, like, Friday night? You go out, you get drunk, you party. Like, you just try to spend the weekend almost like escapism, right? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not great for productivity if you just don't enjoy how you spend at least 40 hours of your week.
That's true. And, you know, I have to thank you for bringing up this topic. I didn't think I'd come up with half these topics off the top just to talk about today, but it is something that, like you said, we've always mentioned, and we can go on and on, but I think we did hit some good gold there.
Yeah, I think so too. So feel free to tweet us if you want at Laughing Mountie, LOUGHINGMOUNTIE, if you have any kind of, you know, thoughts on how you think education could be improved or how it's affected you.
Yeah, we also got the Instagram, just sharing some positive comedy quotes at the moment or jokes on there. So if you just want to laugh, check us out on the Instagram. But thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
I thought that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties.
Woohoo! Stay awesome.